glasses of night, so I can forget my name.
Tu as 14 à 30 ans et tu veux créer une activité en français pour les jeunes de ta communauté? Avec le programme VIF, c'est possible. Tu peux recevoir $850 pour soutenir ton activité et l'organisme partenaire reçoit $150 pour appuyer. Passe à l'action et fais rayonner le français dans ta communauté. Visite programmevif.ca et dépose ta demande dès maintenant.
Hey, hey, hey! You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate and make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new track from Kingston's pop-punk rockers Lumpfish, who are back again with yet another single called Rainy Day that is for sure to get you rocking in the lumpiest way possible. You won't want to miss this one. And stay tuned. Lumpfish will be joining CFRC later this spring as part of our Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, so even more great music from them is coming your way. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Lumpfish's Rainy Day on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and it's time for Music Good Talk. And I want to thank everyone out there for donating during our spring fund drive. Sounds like it was a pretty big success, although I think we may be just barely up to the finish line, so it's not too late to donate and still also get those awesome premiums, including the cool shirt designed by Silly Genius and all kinds of other great things that we've been explaining to you over the past week and a half. So thank you if you've already donated, and if you haven't, it's not too late. You can go to WRIR.org. Thank you for supporting our mission to air underrepresented music, news, and support cultural diversity on the airwaves, independent media, and community media at that. It's so important right now. And I also want to introduce my guest tonight, Acelia. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're going to be playing some of your music. You are a Richmond native?
I was born in Charlottesville, but okay. I moved Virginia. Here about a year ago. Yep.
Awesome. And we met at Reveille at a Sunday set show. And if you recall, we were talking about the radio station, and somehow I might have interrupted your conversation hearing that you were a musician, but appreciate the connection through that awesome show, Sunday set. And it was Joanna Warren, yeah. It was a great show. And then you and I got to talking, and it was suggested that you come visit the station and be on the air. And then something got in the way, which was our move. We moved the studio all the way down here to Shakopavim. And so we've been talking about it for a while. I also ran into you on your way into the Camel, and you were doing a showcase that night. And I saw your show, and that was amazing. And so here we are. We made it happen. So thanks for sticking with me and being patient. So we're going to play some of your music. I want to start just in case people haven't heard your music. But again, it's Acelia here on WRIR today, and we're going to be going through your musical history, as they say. So I wanted to start with your first single, if that makes any sense, a little bit more. And do you want to tell anyone or everyone about how you know, the time period that you started getting into music and what motivated you to start making your own music?
Yeah, this is a deep cut. I was 15 when I wrote this song. Honestly, barely remember who it's about.
Someone.
It is. I think it was about my first boyfriend and just, like, wanting more from people in general. Mm-hmm. But it was the beginning of writing about relationships and writing about my life. And so I guess it was good for that. It's not my favorite song, but I know some people like it, and it's kind of a bop.
Cool. Well, we can play that one and talk more about how you got into music in a bit. And you've been doing this now for, like, I think the fifth anniversary of your first single just rolled around. I was looking at your discography, and it looks like this one came out in 2021.
Yeah.
April.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Time flies. All right, here's a little bit more by Acelia.
Walk and talk and drink your coke with you. Sit inside the glass, wait for the rain to subdue. Are you touching my hand and is this some kind of clue? My father just called, I gotta leave in a few. Don't know if I want to. All I want is a little bit more. If I'm gonna trust in you, you can't get. Stood in the movie line with you. You helped my mom with the credit card too. I put handholds and bump and chew. Can't tell if this is the start of something new. Next day I told you all I want is a little bit more. If I'm gonna trust you, you can't keep. Bye.
And because the station archive recorder was glitching and starting and stopping during the recording of this program, I have to splice in a couple of the missing songs, and unfortunately we missed the explanation, but according to Acelia, this next song, The Color We Bleed, was one of their first protest songs, written at some point during the pandemic. Here's The Color We Bleed, a song with a meaning that is quite relevant even today.
I don't know how I'm supposed to fight. The world's turned upside down right now. Don't know how to make it right. These whitewashed cops, they're shooting up the so-called free. You say it's fair, but how come none of these victims look like me? Thought this was the land of the free. Why is it us and them? Suffocated by simply trying to exist. Thought this was the land of the free.
That was The Color We Bleed from Acelia's self-titled album from August 2021. And up next, let's hear the other track that we played from that self-titled album, Better Than This, Acelia, here on If Music Could Talk.
someday we'll all have to move on, find a new place that we all belong. We belong.
If music could talk, got my earphones on again. That's the right one. I keep doing that.
You got this.
So I got this. Thank you. So after this first album, self-titled, Acelia, you released a song called Spiders, and the cover has Spiders Beware on it. And I actually work at U of R. Is that any...
Oh, absolutely no relation. I found that at a yard sale, and I was like, hey, my song's called Spiders.
Oh, that's
I was
cool.
Also like 17 or 16.
It sounds like maybe it was, you know, because, okay, so I'm hearing porch parties, staying up till dawn. And, but also
very, very junior year of high school.
And also knowing that you're going to part ways with some of those people soon.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just about feeling, of course, I was not old at all. But feeling like time was running out because high school years were coming to an end. And I think a lot of people feel super sentimental about that. It feels like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you still have the rest of your life left. But, yeah, I'm a very sentimental girl.
Well, being able to express your sentiments is something that's so important. And you found music as a way to do that. And it's awesome. Because a lot of people have trouble. That's kind of like... It's almost what this show is about, is music speaks when words can't, you know, if music could talk.
Definitely. Oh, I love that. I didn't get that.
I didn't make it up. It's from a song by The Clash, but I've been playing on that, riffing on that idea for years. Let's hear Spiders. Shall we?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
was Spiders, came out in March of 2022. Still, you were younger then. You had another single called Sarah after that in 2023. I love that you're putting sound effects at the end of some of the songs.
Oh, I love doing that. I want to do it more.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, just field recording kind of stuff. And this one has something at the end that, I won't spoil it, but shall we play Sarah? Do you want to tell me about this song a little bit? It sounds like it's about at least an emotional affair. We're not sure, but someone's texting someone.
I don't know, it's not a physical affair, but it's like...
But matter of fact, very matter of fact, kind of like we were talking about good country music, it's just... telling it like it is.
Sort of. Yeah, it's just about a situationship, as the kids say these days, and the pain of that, and it's just, you know, things are left unclear, so it's not really cheating, but it just feels like betrayal, and when you're, like, 18, and you're, like, obsessed with someone, and they don't like you back, and then you kind of lie, and you're like, I can't really hurt your feelings, so.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about the end. I initially did a demo of it with my best friend DeAndre in Chicago when I lived there, and it was super icy, and it was this freezing cold weekend, and I was so brokenhearted, and we just decided to record the song, and it totally helped me process the situation we had. I wish I could find that demo, but we just had this great weekend recording this song, and it was exactly the therapy that I needed, and that is just a recording of the ice falling, and it sounds like heavy fairies or something.
Oh, wow.
So I just put that at the end of it because it reminded me of the demo and the weekend we spent.
Yeah, and like the warmth of making music where there's like a frozen world outside.
Yeah, it was the best weekend for it to be cold in a snowstorm because we just holed up. We used his closet as the like voice vocal booth.
Wow, never would have guessed.
We just wandered around in the snow.
That's cool.
You're texting Sarah while I'm in your bed. Tell me about Sarah, what the sign she said. Again, Sarah, you're not an error, or does Sarah just hang in your head?
That was Sarah, and that was from 2023. Acelia, you're listening to an interview, an exclusive live interview with Acelia, and thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So cool talking about music with you and your journey with music. And I want to ask you about like promoting your music and how you interact with fans. It's probably weird sometimes to be starting to get like famous and So, like, what are you looking for as a musician in terms of, like, your relationship with your community and people who listen to your music and things that maybe you're trying to protect yourself from, if there's anything
abroad?
Because music, like, the entertainment industry, there's all kinds of scary things, and people try to trick you, use you, take your, steal your energy, all that stuff. And so, like, you've got friends who support you, but then there's social media.
Fame is so hard to measure. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm getting locally famous, but then I'm like, there's no way to really measure it anyway except social media, which is, it matters and it also doesn't matter at all, and mm-hmm. it's so confusing. I also do think I've experienced recently kind of building a persona, which is a good thing and is important, but then along with that comes some things that I don't want. Like, I feel like being queer is definitely part of my identity, and, you know, it's probably part of my draw. I'm trying to attract other people who, like, identify with me. But, you know, we also get a lot of hate for it. Online, we get a lot of hate comments and stuff that are hard to deal with. But the alternative is not posting about it, and I'm always going to choose to post about it and just, like, be honest. But, I don't know, there's a lot to grapple with. But I'm just kind of going for it. I honestly can't think too hard about things that I'm scared about, because then I would just stop.
Right. No, and I don't want you to think too much about things you're scared about. I didn't even really mean to take it there in a weird way. I just, you had recently a viral moment, and someone said, oh, yeah, I saw this video of Acelia where they were kissing their girlfriend in front of, like, some Christian Bible thumper. That's how it was described to me. But I actually saw it before someone described it to me. And apparently, like, you, that went viral, and I think it's awesome. But my question also, and you're probably already ahead of me on this, is what kind of attention is, like, what are you going to do with that? And you don't even need to do anything with it. It just, different people, I think, get excited about different things. And so being in the public eye is hard, and I just hope you're, you know, not getting that kind of, like, I hope the whole right wing leaves you alone.
I hope they do too. But I want to, like, acknowledge that I could have that all go away, you know, if I decided not to post that stuff. So it is a choice that you make.
Right.
But it's just, I'm choosing to do it. I think,
be authentic.
Of course, I wish that it wasn't a video of me kissing my girlfriend that got almost 1 million views. It was, like, a music video. But
How did it happen?
Oh, we just recorded it. Because there's these guys that are on VCU campus all the time, and I'm like, this is not your crowd, y'all.
Yeah.
Get out of here. And they're preaching so loud, and it's often homophobic. And,
right.
You know, sometimes I stop them, and I talk to them to try to, like, be human together. And sometimes I'm just fed up, and I just want to make out with my girlfriend in front of them and make them uncomfortable. And that's what we did, kind of as a joke, and we just recorded it and posted it on TikTok, and it started going a little viral. So then I posted on Instagram, and I said in the caption, you know, this is blowing up on TikTok, so I'm going to use that momentum to promote our queer country night at the campus.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it is music related somewhat.
And you pushed it into the right direction anyway.
I did. And I honestly think all publicity is good publicity. Like, even people fighting about God in my comments, and like, rack up those views, because you're going to get me more follows, and then they're going to see my music. You know, it might be less direct, but I think, you know, if I can show people who I am and what I believe in, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I love how you turned that moment into an opportunity to promote Queer Country Night. And
hell yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
Hell is fine.
Oh, okay.
You can say hell. It's okay. I think you can say other words too, but not the F word.
I've been withholding.
Yes. After 9, maybe you can come back. And you have to be somewhere soon. I want to keep going here. So much to cover. This song here, the next one I wanted to play, the law students, I work at the law school, and I feel like they would be so impressed that you rhymed something with Stare Decisis. This song, The Other Half of the World, and you mentioned making a playlist, and like how that is important, an important step. So you made a playlist. Was it for someone that you made?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this song is about realizing I was into women.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's about my bi awakening. I think now is more than that. But,
And you, yeah. In line, you say discovering the other half of the world.
Yeah, so women.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just so overjoyed that I was into women, very into women. In fact, I was obsessed with this girl, the first girl that I dated. And to me, this song was just very joyful. I felt, like, freed because I'd had such, I was literally 17 and I'd already had some really, really negative experiences with men. Mm-hmm. And it felt so right to be with a woman. And I was elated. And it's kind of like, I have to throw some lesbian references in there, like the It's Not About Cherry Chapstick is way more chapstick. And the playlist thing is like the U-Haul lesbian thing where like we move in together immediately or we make each other a playlist before we've even met or things like that. And that's really how it is. So I had to throw that in there and say I already made a playlist.
Hell yeah. All right, well, let's hear that one. The Other Half of the World, A. Celia on his Music Talk. That was a little bit faster rhythm and a great garage guitar tone on that one, too.
Yeah, I love that one.
So then you came out with album number 2. What was that album called? Crossed. Is that right?
Yes.
And you're on the microphone. It's hard sometimes. I forget my own name sometimes. June 2nd, 2024. I'm just kidding. That was a year
my
or so
birthday.
Ago. Oh, cool. And that's got songs like Meet Me in Maryland, In the Name of Self-Control, Disillusion. We Are Like Apples. You've got an acoustic version of the song we just heard. I want to play We Are Like Apples. Can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, I mean, this whole album, I don't know, it's very raw to me because it's just vocals and guitar, like, combined, like no tracking or editing really. It's just a bunch of, most of them were in one take also. And I recorded them in this stairwell in Chicago with my friend Caleb Hester and like GarageBand or something.
That's where the echo comes from.
Yeah, it's natural. Yeah, no, it's not added reverb at all. So it's just super stripped down, but I think it goes with the tone of the song. We Are Like Apples is, again, just about me processing life and death as, like, a 19-year-old in college. And
I love that description.
It came from, I was just looking at, like, an apple on the counter, and I was pretty sad at the time. And I was just like, wow, this apple's getting pretty rotten, and the same thing's going to happen to me. Okay. And we're all just in this cycle. And so that's how the song came about, an apple.
We Are Like Apples, Hey Celia, and that was from your album Cross that came out in 2024. I wanted to play one more off of this one and then get into some of your newest recordings before you have to leave. And then we'll play all our PSAs and underwriting and all that stuff, I promise, world. Thank you for listening, too. I hope everyone out there is enjoying this beautiful music that you have written. And at some point, you sent me two files also. We got to play those. Okay.
Unreleased.
Awesome. All right. So, Hey, Pass Me a Light. So, the thing I was thinking when I heard this was how, like, when you ask someone for a lighter, it's like a fleeting moment of connection, but also there's the chance of immediate betrayal if they feel it. So.
And that's funny because this person definitely betrayed me in a very concrete way, which is she broke my phone. Accidentally and never bought me a new one.
Oh, no.
And that's also a line in the song. It's just sort of about a broken situationship and trying to process it after the fact. But it was another song that kind of got me through, made me feel hope because the chorus is like, starting to need no one, starting to be someone. And I just felt really free after it ended, and I felt like I didn't need anyone, and I really liked that feeling. And I was just starting to come into my power as a musician, as a person, as a woman. Again, I was like 17, so I was just trying to figure everything out.
So tell me, as a young songwriter, though, maybe people would like to try to, for me, I always wonder what people do when they're writing songs. So did you have like some scraps of paper and a cup of tea and then the guitar? Like, how do you write, like, work out these ideas?
I was camping, and I love camping. I love not being on my phone, so I didn't have my phone or anything. But I had, like, post-it notes, so I wrote some stuff on post-it notes, and I brought them home from the camping trip, and I just put them on my wall, and they just became this one.
That's awesome. Okay, let's hear this one. Hey, Pass Me a Light by Hey Celia. About that album, how a lot of it was kind of thrown together in a spontaneous way.
Yeah, I had a cold at the time. I think I was about to drop out of college in Chicago. I went to college Chicago, and I was just feeling pretty strung out, but I felt that it was important that I take the opportunity to document these songs and just release them, just get them out into the world before I left. And I really wanted to do it in Chicago before I moved away, because that's where I wrote them.
Yeah, and this album is great. You said it recorded in the stairwell.
Yeah, in like one of those old Chicago buildings.
Mm. How long were you in Chicago?
Just a year and a half.
Yeah.
But it was
good to travel.
Pretty informative time for me.
Yeah, I get that. Like, I always think that people should leave home and go and at least live somewhere else.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to go far away. It was just... it was the right decision, and then it was the right decision to leave, so.
Yeah. Heard. So you have a new album that just came out in February of 2026. Do you have more new stuff on the way also?
I do. I have some singles that I have lined up to come out. June Baby, which you'll hear in a second, is the first single that's going to come out, and I think it's going to become, like, my next album.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, this tell me a little bit about this latest EP then. Where was this written and recorded?
It was written on my bedroom floor at like 7 a.m., all the songs I wrote in the morning, because I had just gone through this terrible breakup, and I would just wake up early and feel sorry for myself before class. And I remember it was like 7 a.m. when I had a final exam, but I just sat down and wrote this song.
So healthy, even in your moments of, like, to write a song rather than, like, I mean, you could have been doing other self-destructive things, but you're...
I was.
Of course, but you're still writing music, even, you know, which is so, so healthy.
Actually. I mean, I had to, like, it was the only way I feel I could have gotten through that breakup, and it genuinely saved me, but,
awesome.
Yeah, so that's where I wrote it, just pretty much the same spot in my bedroom. It's just, that's like my creative spot by the window. And then I recorded it in Charlottesville with Sue Slezak and Daniel Gones of Low and Hum. And then Sue's is in David Wax Museum. They're both in, like, incredible bands. I look up to them so much. But they kind of co-produced it.
So did they give you some tips on how you could maybe arrange things at all? Or?
Sue's helped with pre-production, and Daniel was mainly the engineer. Mm-hmm. They're both incredible musicians and producers.
But you showed up with fully arranged songs.
Yeah. Sue's helped me tweak a few things, but the songs were pretty much written, and I sort of pushed it. Like, I could have taken more time to get them more thought out, but I sort of wanted to get them while the emotion was raw, because I knew I would feel better probably eventually, and I wanted to make sure I was still really sad when I recorded the songs.
Yeah.
So,
at least commemorate what you've been through.
Yeah, and I feel like it worked. I love how the recordings came out, and they heard my vision.
So. Do you think you've progressed as a vocalist? Because I've noticed after just skimming through every single recording you have on Bandcamp earlier today that your voice and some of the notes you're hitting, more confidence, more power there? Or
yeah, I think.
Do you practice vocally?
I'm not feeling like I don't practice at all. I don't warm up. I don't
some
do anything.
So jealous.
I mean, I sing a lot, but I don't do vocal warm-ups. I mean, I quit smoking, so that's, like,
congrats.
That's my vocal health.
Awesome. And drinking water.
Tactic, yeah. But, I don't really do any of that. I just sing, and I did take some vocal lessons while I was in Chicago, but I honestly think it's mostly mental. It's about confidence and, like, owning who you are. And the more I do that, the better I get. I think June Baby, which, like I said, you'll hear, is probably my best song vocally so far. And there's no reason. Just keep going.
Yeah, keep progressing. So let's play these two in a row. The Body Keeps the Score and then Jane Doe. Anything you want to say about either of those songs?
I kind of feel like they speak for themselves. They're just about... I don't know. What I try to do is take, like, a classic breakup, which everyone's been through. Everyone experiences the same thing over and over again, and just kind of have a different take on it or write about it in a way that's not cliche. I hate cliches.
Yeah.
And so I tried to do that. Ironically, I learned that The Body Keeps the Score is already a book, so maybe that one is cliche, but...
it's just a phrase.
Yeah, I was just trying to articulate the kind of trope of someone breaking up with you and immediately, like, getting with someone who looks exactly like you.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling replaceable, feeling like Jane Doe.
Oh, that's Jane Doe.
That's Jane Doe. Yeah.
So, yeah, and that one has some accordion in it. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, and viola as well. Body Keeps the Score has viola, and Jane Doe has accordion. Sue's played the accordion, and she's very talented.
Awesome.
Why did you do this? I don't know why I did this.
Thank you.
just have to say, you're listening to WIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. This is If Music Could Talk, and here is Jane Doe by Ace Steel. Acelia with Jane Doe, and I really just want to thank you for, you know, coming down here, being willing to talk about your creative process and some of these really personal lyrics, just beautiful music. And you're local, so we love spotlighting. I say we as a radio station, love spotlighting and supporting local musicians. So we are your independent radio station. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully others that listen will check your music out as well. I've got these two tracks that we were going to finish of yours that are not released. And when I upload the podcast later, I'll make sure to edit them, maybe shorten them so we don't play the whole thing so we don't release them by accident.
Oh, you can play them.
Okay.
June Baby's coming out, and they'll both be out soon, so it's okay if you play them.
Okay. Well, exclusive then. Which one should we play first? June Baby or Good Thing?
Play Good Thing first.
Okay. So, this is brand new. Do you want to say anything before we play it?
Yeah, this is a song I wrote about my girlfriend, and it's just, I wrote it when we first started dating. Actually, it may not have been official yet, but, yeah, I just wrote it about, like, letting good things happen to me, because, you know, if you listen to my discography, I think there's been some chaos, and I think a lot of people have had bad relationships, you know, it's just part of it, but you kind of have to know when to accept a good one into your life and not be the one to ruin it,
yeah,
you know, because you're scared, yeah. So, That's what it's about. It is deep and it's also simple at the same time.
Yeah.
Cute little like lesbian references in there, and it's just like a very sweet song, which is rare for me to write. So.
After some good things,